Well, and the nice thing is too, we break bread with each other, which is, you know, how great is that? I mean, you know, for a lot of people that don't have family connections, or, you know, instead they have the group connections. So let's put it this way. There's been a lot of porch dropping since COVID, and people just, you know, putting, you know, friend just stopped by and gave us some tomato chutney, and we gave her some fresh eggs because we have chickens. I mean, things like that, you know.
Imagine you have a Facebook group where you can share your ideas, products, and services with tens of thousands of raving fans every single day. The question is, how do you create a group and fill it with the right people that only you can serve and bring value to at the highest level? Join me as I set out to find the people who already have the most successful groups in every niche under the sun, to ask them what their secrets are, so we too can serve and bring value to those that are waiting for us to show up. My name is Usher Fried, and this is Facebook Group Secrets.
My name is Chris Calise. I am the founder and admin for Eugene Foodies and also Eugene Food Carts. The Eugene Foodies group started 2009. First, I started a blog, eugenefoodies.com. Nobody really went there, and I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted people to participate. And then this new thing came along called Facebook, and I decided to try a group. It has been a journey of love. The conversation that got started is just amazing. People participate incredibly. We now have over 25,000 members in Eugene Foodies, 8,000 members in Eugene Food Carts, which is an offshoot because I didn't want the food carts to advertise. I don't let restaurants advertise either, except for once a month on Eugene Foodies. So Eugene Food Carts, the mobile folks can post specials every day because they're more, how should we say, geared towards viral media, and they're constantly posting. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing conversation. The community is an amazing food community, Eugene, Oregon. It's talented. Group is dedicated to our local sustainable organic providers, and we have so many of them. We're blessed with a bounty here in the Northwest that allows us to make incredible food from local ingredients.
Thank you very much, Chris, for coming on the show. But how are you doing?
We're doing good. Things are looking better.
You're safe.
Yes.
You're safe.
Yes, I am.
All right, good. Good to hear. Good to hear. I think I'm also safe, but I guess I'll keep you posted on that. You know, one never knows. But so it's very interesting that you started your, you know, you started off as a blog about food. Was it just about food? Was it about food in Eugene when you started your original blog?
Well, it was supposed to be food in Eugene, but I always like to say that Eugene foodies like to travel. And my job of 13 years as a medical equipment engineer took me all over the world. And so I have collected pictures of food from all over the world. And I'm very adventurous when it comes to food, whether it be street food in India or, you know, a restaurant in Hong Kong that I can't read Chinese, but I can point at the pictures and show them what I, right, what I want. And, you know, when I go to pay, I just hand out my money and I trust they're going to be honest. I mean, but yes, I've been all over the world. I mean, certain cultures, I'm really big on Brazil, feijoada. I love feijoada. And, you know, so I've been very blessed to be able to, you know, have these culinary adventures. In the United States, I follow Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So I had the app on my phone. Whenever I was in a city, I would look and say, okay, what restaurant did he go to in this city? And a lot of times I got to go there. So it's been quite the adventure.
So that's really cool. But how come it's called, I guess, Eugene Foodies, or let's say your blog was about Eugene? Shouldn't it just be about general about food?
Well, I wanted it to be local. Again, we're supporting our local sustainable providers. And so one of the things was to be able to highlight them. And mm-hmm. I'm very, how should we say, picky about who joins. So there's got to be some kind of connection there. And I always tell people, don't add your friends list, because I want them to have a local connection. Either they live here, or they come to visit enough that they're going to come and spend money. Either or. Yeah, my focus is local.
If I understand this correctly, you are a foodie and you love food. And at the same time, you want to support your local food stores, supermarkets, restaurants. And really, the blog is about food, right? Because that's your passion. But you want to highlight, I guess your passion is also where you live, and you want to highlight those restaurants and help them grow through your blog.
Exactly. And yeah, like I said, the blog, you know, it was just me posting my restaurants. I might have 20 or so reviews on there, but really there was no participation. Whereas I can post about a restaurant, or somebody can post about a restaurant, and there might be 100 comments on it. Or people ask a lot of recipe questions because we have such a wealth of knowledge. How did you do that? You know, where did you get that? It's funny. Just the other day, a woman said, hey, I'm having a wedding in San Diego. Does anybody know a good taco cart down there that makes their own tortillas? And I thought to myself, okay, I approved it because I approve every post. I said, okay, I approve this. In an hour, she had 20 different people.
And wow.
Basically, she said, thank you. And I cut off commenting and then I said to her, I said, can you believe that you had like 5 different recommendations in San Diego on a Eugene Foodies group?
Wow. It was just mind-boggling.
I mean, but a lot of people move from other places, especially California, to Oregon. So.
Right. And people have relatives and visit and, you know, travel. So, yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
So you started in 2009. So how did you launch it? Like, did you invite people? How did people find out about it?
Well, yeah, I started inviting my friends and we started doing food events. I had some business cards made up and went around and gave out business cards, told the restaurants about it. We were doing a lot of big dinners where we talk about it, and basically word of mouth, it started just snowballing, it started getting bigger and more vibrant, and it kind of plateaued for a little bit. And then all of a sudden we got an article in the paper. My wife and I and about 4 other people were highlighted in our local newspaper as food bloggers, and because food blogging was just starting to go off. And the blog still didn't take off, but the Facebook page group did.
So when you went around giving your business cards and doing those, you know, meetings at the restaurants, you were promoting your group?
Yeah, just telling them, you know, because back then there wasn't a lot of traffic. So, you know, hey, you want to post specials, you want to let us know, we like pictures, you know, tell us about your restaurant. And we had already known a lot of the local chefs anyway. Because we're foodies. We were just kind of spreading the word. I had to put the kibosh on that about 1,000 members later because the restaurants were taking advantage of it. Then I had to make commercial posting rules. Okay, once a month, don't make it like advertising, specials for the group. In fact, there's one restaurant that still does the secret Eugene Foodie menu.
Oh, wow.
A secret Eugene Foodie discount. But you have to know about it.
Wow, that's really cool. So I just want to break that down a little, because there are other people that I've spoken to that have done similar things as you, but like I think that this sort of, you know, seeing it again in a different light is very helpful. I interviewed Ed Hurlbert, and he has an RV group, and the way he got people into his group, calling up RV dealers and asking them to send their customers to his group. So basically, you know, people try to start a Facebook group and they want to grow it, right? So a lot of people just think, how could I grow it? They sit at their computer trying to think, how could they grow it? Meanwhile, there are other venues and other ways of growing a group besides just spending time on Facebook and cross-posting and doing all of that stuff and creating content. You could actually call restaurants or go down to restaurants and tell them about your group. And basically, for you, it was the restaurants, but for anyone else, if it's plants or if it's whatever, you call up a flower store, you call up
people that have content to share, and you basically tell them, just like what you did, that we're growing a group, we're creating a people that your customers, we just want you to post, you know, you post on social media anyways, come into our group and post there as well and create content for the group, right? So that you get the restaurants in, and then they promote you also because they're in the group. So they want the people that shop there, and you could grow a group that way. It sounds like that's what you did.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I did cross-posting too, but...
Oh, yeah, not do cross-posting, but to just think offline. You know, sometimes the best way to do it is offline. We had someone who hired people to put up posters on docks across, you know, different parts of the world, and basically saying, join my boat group. And he got a lot of people to join just from that. So I'm just saying, like, to get creative out of the box and think about offline ways of getting people into your group online.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you have to tell the restaurants to stop because it's just too much content or too much promotion.
I mean, when we got up to, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 members, again, we're over 25,000 now. At 8,000 to 10,000 members, it was too much of a draw for restaurants. And, you know, they were basically taking advantage, some of the restaurants. And, you know, it was like, nope, I got to make new rolls. And again, I got like 20 some rolls now because I had to keep making rolls because, you know, unfortunately it's social media, you know, you need rolls. And it made the admin part, how should we say, a little more difficult because, you know, we're not getting paid for this. So I have a co-admin. I used to have two co-admins. Unfortunately, one of the co-admins was taking advantage of being the admin. So now I have one co-admin. She works really hard. She thinks like I think. So she knows what I'm going to expect to approve things. And a lot of times she'll just leave things for me. She goes, you got to see this one. And she'll leave it for me. And I'll go, oh, my God. You know, the things that people want to post sometimes.
It's What's like, an example?
You know, weird things that, you know, I mean, get a lot of weird GoFundMes. I don't allow GoFundMes.
Yeah.
We have rules for fundraising. Either it's a food charity that's having an event or an auction or whatever. Anything for a food charity is fine, a legitimate food charity, or a food event for a non-food charity. And that's it. Personal GoFundMes, you know, especially, you know, when times are tough, everybody wants to, so-and-so needs a new... You know, whatever, you know, no, sorry. You know, there are lots of other places to post those kind of things. You know, we try to keep it really controlled because again, 25,000 members, you know, things just get too crazy.
And people are not interested in seeing a bunch of GoFundMe page. You know, if they would like to help out, they could go to the website.
Yeah. I don't allow rants. I mean, you had a bad experience at a restaurant. I understand. I don't mind a negative review, but it should be factual and it should not be a rant. Instead of, oh my God, it was the worst food I ever had. Don't ever go and eat there again, blah, blah. No, I'm sorry. That's a rant. And, you know, our food providers work really hard. It's not an easy business. These aren't big corporations that have lots of money behind them. Even in big cities like New York, a lot of restaurants are small. In fact, I just read a thing that Boston, 20% of their restaurants are never going to come back.
My gosh.
You know, not only the loss of income, but for the loss of good food. I mean, because most of the small independent restaurants are the ones that make the adventurous food. And we're the same here. I mean, we're going to have a real shakeout. But again, you know, one bad review can ruin a restaurant. And I always say, we're not Yelp. I don't want to be Yelp. I want factual reviews. And, you know.
Right. Meaning like even if someone has a negative experience, they could just write down exactly what happened. You know, you could say the food was cold, for example, or not cooked, instead of a paragraph of this is the worst place ever.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the comments when rants happen. Sometimes we wouldn't get to them in time because we can't be monitoring 24/7. Right. You know, so something happens overnight. next thing you know, there's a lot of people up late at night talking about food. And we get to the next morning and, oh my God, things just went crazy. But then you have people going, well, did you report it to the manager? Did you talk to the owners? Because no, a lot of people don't do that. They don't send a dish back. They don't say, hey, this is not acceptable and I don't want to pay for this. So they just go on social media and rant. And, you know, there's multiple food groups in this area. You see the same person ranting on five different food groups. And it's like, seriously, you can't just let it go. You had a bad day. And restaurants have bad days. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, no one's perfect. And your group is about bringing people together, you know, not the opposite of spreading people apart and causing division and having restaurants shut down because of it. You know, that's not something you want.
And that's really one of the, how should we say, benefits of the group is so many friendships have been made over the years now. And we were doing potlucks. We had to expand last year to a bigger space. Of course, we couldn't do one this year. But we were doing our annual potlucks. Our first potluck was like 30 people. That's it.
Wow.
But yeah, last year we had to rent a big facility that held 100 some people. And it was still pretty crowded. Unfortunately, COVID hit this year. So our next potluck will be a big event because we'll be back.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it was getting to the point where, you know, so many people were meeting each other in the group, putting names to faces, you know. So yeah, it's a real community.
Right. It is. It's more real than the difference between a community that has a community, you know, that's focused on a community. Yours is, you know, in Eugene. Is that you actually could bump into people that are in the group and see them on a daily basis and not just talk to them through the computer.
Well, and the nice thing is, too, we break bread with each other, which is, you know, how great is that? I mean,
yeah,
you know, for a lot of people that don't have family connections or, you know, instead they have the group connections.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's amazing.
Let's put it this way. There's been a lot of porch dropping since COVID.
Wow.
And people just, you know, putting, you know, friend just stopped by and gave us some tomato chutney and we gave her some fresh eggs because we have chickens. I mean, things like that, you know,
that is awesome.
Happens all the time.
That's awesome. Know? So like at these get togethers, who sponsored that? I'm saying 100 people. Yeah. I'm sure you have to rent a place.
Yeah. Yeah. I took care of that. It's always been, you know, it's a once a year thing, but you know, there's a lot of meetups that go on, you know, and I say, hey, create an event. And we'll post it on the page.
Wow.
So people create events. And so they might meet up at a restaurant or they might meet up at somebody's house or they might meet up in a park. But yeah, the potlucks, I'm the organizer for that.
Okay. Wow. So that's really cool. It's just interesting. Like I mentioned that you guys get to interact and actually see each other. Do you get anything from sending people to these restaurants?
Oh, no. I mean, we might go and you know, get a free appetizer once in a while, or somebody wants to try a new menu item on us. You know, if we don't like it, we'll tell them. Or if we think there's a problem with it, we'll tell them. We're very honest about, you know. But no, for the most part, nah.
Right. So you wouldn't set up a system where you promote a specific restaurant that you like. And, you know, just like you said, they give them deals. So, you know, you could take 5% of sending them customers. You know, they win, you win, the customer wins. Would that be an idea that you would entertain?
I'd have to give it some thought.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, obviously your group is here to help everyone, but you know, I think that this is not considered taking advantage of anyone. You recommend restaurants, you only work with restaurants that you like, and you basically tell a restaurant that you like that if they, you know, you generally it's a organic group. There's no real promotion. But for one post to, let's say, be at the top to promote them, to send people there, you know, ask them if they would be interested in giving 5% of the people that bring in that code. So this way, you know, you're bringing those customers and more people are going and everyone's making more money and everyone we're enjoying their food.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I thought of that.
So it's also very interesting that you're the first group that I interviewed that is a local group. And what's interesting is that you get to make real connections and become real friends, which help the engagement aspect, right? You know, because like on Facebook, if I decide to get off Facebook, So that's it. I'm gone. I disappeared. I've had episodes. I don't know if you call it episodes where I'm just like, you know, a break from Facebook for 2 weeks, right? So then like Usher Free does not exist anymore. But with your group, you know, people are still people. The relationships are created and the relationships continue to be fostered even if they're offline.
Yeah, it's true that, you know, I would still interact with chefs because of my love of food, even if I didn't have the group. But we like talking to the chefs. And I have this thing for restaurant equipment. So,
oh, what's your thing for restaurant equipment?
Oh, I just like restaurant equipment. I surf the restaurant supply stores because, you know, I just love the equipment. So I always love somebody giving me a tour of their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a problem asking, hey, can I take a peek at your kitchen?
Nice. Well, they better, you know.
Wow, everything in there? You know, wow. Things like that. So, and everybody always has this kind of unique, you know. And so
That's great. If anyone is like listening to the podcast and is falling asleep, you know, we just woke them up.
Yeah, we just woke them up.
You should be videoing this for them and featuring it in your group for a commission. Your group is a hotspot for your community. I'm just saying, like, you're getting in front of so many eyeballs just by posting in your organic group. And obviously, you can't, like, post too many things that are promotion, like what you said, right? Originally, you had to cut down on the restaurants posting in the group. But you could do cool things for restaurants to promote them in an organic way. You could just, if they're posting content, you could allow them to post content and every once in a while put a little bit, come get yours, whatever, at the end of it, once or twice a week, in a way that you still keep the organic feel of your group. Your group is community-based. I feel like I'm coming to people's homes and chilling with them. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm in Oregon when I'm going through your group. I'm not sure I'm not.
Well, with a lot of the restaurants, especially new restaurants, again, I only allow them to post once a month and I let them know, but I don't stop people that like them from posting about them. So, you know, when a restaurant's doing really good, a new restaurant, because they're getting so much buzz just off of word of mouth. And that, you know, that's helped so many restaurants to grow because people are like, wow, you got to go here. And that's the best advertising.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know what? You're giving all these people business. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where the wife and I keep a list of restaurants. We have a restaurant that opened up a year ago. We still haven't got to it. We had one that opened up and they went out of business before we could even get them. It's like there's too many. And we very rarely try a restaurant twice. We have a couple that, you know, are how should we say, go-tos. But for the most part, we get to a restaurant, we try them out. It's hard for us to get back for a second try just because there are so many of them. We're a very vibrant restaurant community.
You realize if your group would just be foodies, it most probably would be like at least quadruple the size, right? Because
yeah,
you're limiting it just to your to Eugene, which is a very small percentage of the world.
Yeah. The management ability for that. I mean, there's the New York Times cooking community. That group is so vibrant. It's just off the charts. And nah, I don't want to go to that level. But it's New York Times magazine. You know, they have the, you know, those people get paid.
Right.
That's their social media experts, and you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you could outdo them. By the way, don't count yourself out. I'm sure the people in your group enjoy it, at least in the community. You know, just because it just makes it that much more valuable for the people that actually gain benefit from it, right? Again, if it would be a world thing, you wouldn't have the meetups. You wouldn't be able to have the local meetups. It wouldn't be a community thing. You wouldn't like be posting this thing about help, as we mentioned before we started recording. You posted a link to a website, to the government website, about helping the people who are lost their homes or need food, right? So that's why you lose. Right. Yeah, well, you want to explain what that is?
Well, we're in the midst of a fire emergency. And so lots of evacuations. And of course, people want to give. We're a very giving community. People are, you know, just asking for resources. And so the county put out a website that gives all the good links. And so the food trucks here have really stepped up I just did a thank you to them on my food carts group because they're stepping up and feeding people. I was in a bunch of chats last night networking, so everybody knew what was going on. And, you know, it's just incredible. Again, the community just stepping up, and the food trucks have been closing because the air quality has been so bad, and they're sitting on all this food anyway. So they said, let's just go to the shelter and feed people.
Right. And I'm saying that if you had a worldwide group, so you would lose the stage for projects within your community.
Yeah. There'd have to be offshoots. And we started Eugene Foodies because there was a New York Foodies. We saw some news article or something about New York Foodies. And that gave us the idea. What about Eugene Foodies?
Wow.
The rest is history.
Look what reading does for you. You know, read one article and create a community that's making a huge difference and helping so many people. And are you like a celebrity in Eugene?
Infamous, maybe. Yeah, the wife. And that started early on, too. I mean, you know, we were about 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 members. And somebody would go, are you Chris and Kathy from Eugene Foodies? And, you know, we walk into a restaurant and the owners had never met us before. And they're like, oh, God.
You know, they're like trembling, and, like, oh, my God.
You know, but literally on the street sometimes. I mean, my wife was walking to work. I had just let her out of the car. And some young woman's walking by. She turns around and goes, you're Kathy. Wow. Yes. So, yeah, we always try to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, well, you don't want any bad ratings, you know, in your group.
Oh, believe me, I've got haters.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, because I put the kibosh on trolls, and I put the kibosh on rude people. I'm sorry, we're going to treat each other with respect. We're going to treat each other as family, and I reference that a lot, actually. We are a big family, and I'm sorry, you're not going to be trolling in the group.
Right.
And yeah, so I've had people go out and start their own groups because I wouldn't let them curse, or I was pretentious, or all us foodies are pretentious. And yeah, so there's all these other groups that, you know, they're actually one now it's opened up, and I actually belong to this group. It's called Foodie Sucks, because it used to be Eugene Foodie Sucks, started tongue in cheek by one of my friends actually, but it allowed all those haters to jump on me. Well, I try not to allow those conversations in Eugene Foodies. But on Eugene Foodie Sucks, I'm sorry, I can call you names back because I'm not the admin. So it's, but now it's Eugene, now it's Foodie Sucks. So it is a national group.
And your friend started it, you said, right?
Yeah, it was just a joke.
Right. Yeah, but it's great company. Because otherwise, you know, if somebody else would have started it, they wouldn't have let you in.
Well, there's Eugene Foodies Unpretentious, and there's Eugene Foodies Uncensored.
And Eugene Foodies Really Suck.
I mean, you know, yeah, go ahead. Start the name. The only thing is that I won't let it. I did have somebody try to do Eugene Foodies Events, and I had let her use that name, and I had the name trademarked because I had made a promise a long time ago that I would never monetize the group, that it would always be for a nonprofit if I do monetize it. And they basically were using it to try to make money. And I literally had to go to Facebook and give them my trademark papers, and Facebook took it down. Now, they won't take it down unless there's commercial activity. So somebody wants to start a Eugene Foodies, they're a bunch of idiots group, I can't stop that. But if they're going to say, hey, I'm Eugene Foodies and I'm going to sell you something, sorry.
Right. That's very interesting. They built a brand off of your name, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the one to let them use the name because they were supposed to be promoting Eugene Foodies Events. And then when I went to post a Eugene Foodies event, they said no.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So,
wow. That's all right. Sick.
And then they said, yeah, prove it. Yeah, well, there's my payment. Well, you better get a lawyer. No, I'll just get Facebook to take it down for me.
Wow. So what happened? So their whole business tanked.
You know, it's funny. Their group is actually still up, and I don't see any action on it in the last couple of years. So.
You sound so calm, cool, and collective. Was this like a big pain to deal with?
No, because I kind of predicted it early on. That's why I trademarked the name. And arguing getting a trademark is real easy. I mean, I actually had somebody in New York that was using the name Eugene Foodies. Why? I have no clue. And when I said, hey, that's an Oregon trademark, they could have said, well, it's not national, but they didn't know. Nah. So they said, okay, we'll take it down.
You did a trademark just within Oregon?
Yeah. Yeah. You can trademark, well, at least in Oregon, you can trademark in the state.
Uh-huh. And is that less expensive than going national?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's not as enforceable except in Oregon. So if I had, you know, Fox News in Oregon before Fox News came along, Fox News couldn't use their trademark.
Right. Uh-huh. Very interesting. So that's interesting. So how much does it cost to trademark a name?
$70.
$70. Yeah. Right. So if someone's building a group and is, you know, mildly successful, it might make sense for them to trademark it. At least locally.
If it can be monetized and somebody can steal it, you better trademark it.
How did you go about it? You just Googled trademark name and...
Yeah, well, in Oregon, you just go to the Attorney General's website and follow the links and pay your money. And, you know, I had to submit artwork. Now, my artwork anymore, I don't really use the artwork, but once you submit the artwork, you're also getting the name. Uh-huh. And I did, in the trademark itself, I did Eugene Foodie and then Eugene Foodies. So I got both covered. And of course, I bought the domain names. So you want to cover your domain names. So that's the other part of, you know, building that brand, making sure that you have the right. And if somebody else has a domain name, it might be expensive to buy. Or in fact, where was it? Joe Biden just got makeamericagreat.com because the Trump administration did not buy it. Why? Who knows? Somebody dropped the ball there. So the Biden campaign bought it. So if you go to makeamericagreat.com, it goes to Joe Biden's website.
Interesting. And I'm sure Trump has makeamericagreatagain.com.
Or maybe it's makeamericagreatagain.
Oh, that's what they got? They got Make America Great? That's interesting. Yeah. You should know somebody I interviewed just did that when he like 5 years ago or 4 years ago, he just got a bunch of names, group names. And some of them blew up just from the keywords. You know, and he was going with such a mindset. He's like, you know, just Facebook groups was like a thing that I noticed and I picked up on it. I just grabbed all, you know, any name that I could think of that could be a decent idea.
Social media, you know, if you're going to promote things, you have to cover those bases.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, I'm just thinking about for you, maybe why wouldn't you put out a book of a collection of all these posts and, you know, make it available? For people, you know, for a small price, I guess. I'm just like thinking there's so much content in your group that is so useful, and old content in your group doesn't get outdated because it's still food.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've talked about, you know, doing a fundraiser, you know, with a recipe book. We've talked about a quarterly magazine highlighting some of our local talent, new restaurants, things like that.
We're an email newsletter. That's a magazine, just, you know, just more affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. I've looked into online magazines too. I mean, they're interesting, you know, flipping pages on a computer is kind of strange, but
yeah, people do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was looking at like a newspaper insert that would go out once a quarter. Yeah. A lot of ideas.
Right. It's easier to think and harder to implement.
Well, now that I'm retired,
you have time.
Might have more time.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, I can't wait to see those that internet magazine. You let me know.
Yeah, they're getting, how should we say, more user friendly. You know, because I don't have graphic skills really, but they're kind of getting, you know what WYSIWYG means?
No.
WYSIWYG is an old HTML term. What you see is what you get. So it makes it user friendly to build these things. Same with websites. I mean, if you go to some of the website providers now, you know, they pretty much do everything for you. You really don't have to know any coding or anything like that. You know, you drop in a picture, you put in your text, you rearrange the colors and the backgrounds, and bing, you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of softwares that make it really easy.
Yeah. I haven't looked into it for a few years. Maybe I should.
they're close to perfecting it, you know, making it each year or each 2 years, another platform comes out with solving all the previous platform's problems. That's something that will just keep on getting better and easier.
WordPress is not that user-friendly, and there's a lot of coding involved.
Right, but there's ClickFunnels, and then there's now Groove Pages, and there's Lead Pages. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that area is going to be filled with competition because everyone is just trying to build on everyone else's success, you know? So it just gets easier. But I just wanted to like highlight this post I see in your group. Somebody posted, in case anyone wants a tomahawk, we are cutting them at Costco now. Like that is cool. That is so cool that, you know, because I'm used to seeing Facebook groups that are, you know, which part of the world are you from, right? Nobody's ever seeing anyone, right? Over here, it's like community. It's like your neighbor, like, oh, did you, you know, to your neighbor, did you see that post? Yeah, let's go. You want to go now? You have time? Like, to me, it's amazing.
Yes. And the tomahawk steaks are very popular right now. It's a weird cut that you don't hear about a lot.
Well, and it looks like a lot of people went.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of, everyone's like tagging everyone. Please drop. Oh, see, look at this. Please drop off at my house. I'll trade you one of my bangles. I have to finish this because this is hilarious. Somebody asked, "Do you breed bangles?" No, this was a joke. But he has two bangles, but he's not getting rid of any. Oh wow, it's really great, and I think that there is a lot of room for you to make money off of this. You know, for your not-for-profit or for however you want, you know, maybe even more than other groups because there's such a close connection that everyone has. And, you know, you have physical stores that could be gaining through offline, you know, experience, especially now when the restaurants are struggling so much. You know, you could, you know, if you monetize this, you could really give them, those restaurants, a boost of visitors, you know, post their special deals, post their menus in a way that keeps it organic. And then, you know, they could give you a percentage of the profits that you bring.
Yeah.
They could sponsor your get-togethers.
Ah, now there's an idea.
Yeah, and why should you have to watch? You're putting in hours of work into this group. Why should you have to pay out of pocket to, again, help the group? Hook up a restaurant to sponsor, and they could even sponsor a dish and make it fun, and then they get free promotion, or you could even charge them for hosting your get together, and you can make it bigger, and then they get a huge feature in the group and people will go there again. You can't get better coverage than that.
Or I charge them to set up little tasting stations. So
yeah, you could go wild. You could enhance whatever your group is doing, which it's doing a lot. It's bringing food to people, it's connecting people. You could give the incentive to restaurants to do more for the people in your community in a way that they get more back, right? And it brings more people together. Like, you could just further your mission, you know, twice the amount of what you're already doing. I mean, that's what I see. That's what I think. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, ideas that I need to start thinking about.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of times people monetize, but at the expense of their group and at the expense of what they built. But over here, I think you could really position yourself in a way to actually blow up your group and most probably even grow it to even more people, because you'll get more exposure for the group, more exposure for the restaurants. Money will pump into Oregon. You'll become the celebrity. You'll run for mayor and you'll win. And that'll be it. It'll start with a Facebook group. And then we'll have to have you on, Mayor Chris.
Yeah, all because of a Facebook group. Free food for everybody.
Free organic free food. So this is really interesting. You know, I really like what you've done here. I like how you've built it, and I like what you're doing with it. It's really cool. It also is, you know, it's a new way of just looking at how to leverage the Facebook group platform to use it in a way that really just helps everyone. All right, so that's a lot of information to take in, Chris. Thank you very much for your time. And, you know, from how you started the group to how place for your community to grow and connect together, like your community online to help your community offline grow together, to discussing the opportunities that are out there for you to monetize. It's been a great episode. Thank you very much for taking the time and helping us out.
You're welcome, Asher. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Hey there. I hope this episode helped you along with your journey. If you enjoyed, be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That's it for today. Take care, and I'll see you next time.